part of the revolution today.
It's just crazy. Sometimes you can see 15 feet in front of you, sometimes 30, and then sometimes nothing, just out of nowhere, the wind is blowing. There was lightning and thunder before. It's crazy out here.
Now I'm trying to make my way from here to my apartment. So, miserable.
We're hanging in there. We've luckily been able to stay pretty warm, and we actually picked up some food in Pennsylvania before we even entered New Jersey last night. So, not even anticipating getting stuck.
Terrible. It's snowy, low visibility, really bad.
Yeah, low visibility and 4,200 flights canceled, 32 inches of snow. Wow, that is massive, piling up all over the place in the East Coast. The wind gusts really killed it, though. Some of you listening might be in those particular areas, whether it's Connecticut or Vermont or wherever, but the wind gusts started the problem, I think, for most of the people. That's why they couldn't see in trying to travel, whether it was in Midtown Manhattan or on the Turnpike. So they just abandoned their cars because if you can't see, how can you possibly drive? That creates another problem. You have abandoned cars. How can you snow plow an area where you've got cars all over the place, and how are you going to move them? So truly, this was a nightmarish storm that happened on Sunday into Monday, closing many of the main arteries and backing up all those flights. And that's where we start. This is America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. If you've never heard the show before, we like to call it Water Night, late night rather, Water Cooler Buzz on the Overnight Highway. That's a tongue twister, isn't it? So if you want to jump in and throw in your two cents, you know you can do it in these first couple of minutes here. Reach for the phone. Do it. 800-259-5791. If you were stranded and have a story, share it with us. There were a lot of people that were stranded. I know a few people that got stuck on flights, but not stuck in the airport. Stuck on longer flights than they should have been by the time they got in and all that other stuff. But they weren't in those situations where they were rolling up their coats and sleeping on the floor. Even Amtrak trains had it tough from Penn Station trying to go out to other parts of the world. Penn Station, of course, in New York, they had delays. They had signal problems. You had, sadly, 400 passengers trapped overnight on a Manhattan-bound subway, and that was because of weather. And if you had an icy third rail, there's not much you can do, and you had no way to move a train. You just got to wait. And that's what happened. People had to wait. The cold, the gusts, the problems mean that, you know, everybody's not happy with what's going on and their patience is wearing thin and they're exhausted. But there's not much you can do. When you're in the thick of it, you're in the thick of it. So there's delays in Washington and Boston and Pennsylvania and New York. You know, pick a place, any place. And in the South, by the way, there were also some problems because you had snow in the South. Atlanta had snow. South Carolina, they had snow. In Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, they had snow. And that's very unusual. I think in Atlanta, they said it's the first time they've had that kind of a snowstorm since 18-something or other. And that's just the kind of nor'easter it was. It really sent people scrambling because the time of year couldn't be worse. How many people only get a few days off and decide they're going to go visit somebody and they're flying out on Sunday or Monday and it's just a bad timing deal? And see, normally too, I think of when I travel, and probably many of you do the same thing. You're either one or the other. You either like to travel first out of the gate as early as possible, or you like to go on the other end of it later. Now, the later you get in the day, the chances are you could get bumped, delayed, all that kind of stuff because of planes coming in or delays from earlier in the day. When you're the first one that shoves off, much better chance of making it, although for some people that didn't work. Speaking of making it, it's all about making the playoffs in the NFL. We've done this fun thing called Nail the Score. And we had a winner, Chris, in Connecticut. Who knows if with all the stuff that's gone on, if she's gotten her package yet, but she will. And she's got bragging rights big time because she nailed the score weeks and weeks ago here on America Tonight. Nobody nailed the score in the Saints game, the Saints-Falcons game, although one came close. Jack had 17-10 Saints, but it was 17-14 over the Falcons. And this was a big, big win for them. But even with the loss, the Falcons probably get the South and NFC home field advantage. So Matt Ryan, the Falcons quarterback, can claim he's 19-2 in games at the Georgia Dome, but the Saints are clicking at the right time. Remember, these are the Super Bowl defending champs. What about the Jets? The Jets lost to Chicago. Still, though, with the record that they amassed, especially earlier in the season, because the wheels have been off lately, the Jets managed to get into the playoffs, even though they did have the HBO jinx working for them since they were the Hard Knocks crew this time around. Here's what Rex Ryan, the coach, had to say about getting in.
I think we're in the playoffs. God, dog, hey, it ain't the way I wanted it, but I'll take it. I'll be honest, I'd much rather have won it ourselves, but I'll take it. Not really, no relief at all. No relief at all.
All right, so he's right. They kind of backed in. They find out, okay, well, this happened, that happened, we're in. Now it's a question of, yeah, you know, are the Jets going to go very far in the playoffs? Well, you know, the playoffs are like a second season. And some of what you see in the regular season applies, but some of it doesn't. Because it really is. It's like a tale of two seasons. That's it. The regular season and now the playoffs. The stakes are higher. One and done. That's it. Playing one and then that's it. So maybe they get it together. There have been some strange off-the-field things that have definitely nicked this team. The latest crazy thing was that foot fetish deal. Matt, you and I didn't talk about this because this happened when you were already off. But that was a crazy story about his wife and the video of the feet that was played all over the place. It made the big papers, the big headlines in New York. And he just didn't really want to talk about it. He just kind of said, well, you know, it's a personal matter. It was the strangest story. It was kind of like a story that really wasn't, but it was really played up.
This has been the craziest and weirdest season of NFL football in my lifetime, for sure. And it's just another story. Like, all the stuff that's happened with my team, the Vikings, the stuff with other squads, the Jets, and with the Brett Favre thing, and now you have the feet. You've got Ben Roethlisberger and his whole deal. There's just, like, coaches being fired. There's a lot of things that have happened this year, games getting moved, that, I mean, it's like 10 years of stuff that happened in the NFL all condensed into one season.
I know. It is a very strange. I wish there was a better way. It's like we're bailing on the adjective, but it is just strange is the best way to put it. It has been an oddball season, to say the least. That's why I can only imagine what's going to happen in the playoffs. Stay tuned. We're talking about terrorism and how to spot it through human behavior next.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump-outs and repairs and remove septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to protect your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They both have maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them until now, your cash would have the buying power of only $4,800. But your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call John Ballman today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth a zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
Are you tired of police, judges, and bureaucrats using traffic tickets and other regulatory traps to trick you out of your hard-earned money? Are you sick of fraudulent bankers rigging mortgages and using the foreclosure process to steal your home? You need to visit bestfreedomtools.com. Act now to get an amazing free catalog and free DVD packed with vital information to give you the upper hand against these so-called authorities. You will learn how to overcome all traffic fines, how to stop judges in their tracks, and how to effectively combat penalty notices of all kinds without paying a penny. All the information you need to regain your health, wealth, and power is yours at bestfreedomtools.com. To get your free catalog and free DVD, call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or visit bestfreedomtools.com now for your free catalog and free DVD. bestfreedomtools.com, giving you the information you need today.
Imagine if you can, that there are people who are uber trained in the powers of observation. So when you're going through those checkpoints, whether it's in Orlando or whether it's at O'Hare or Midway or Philadelphia International or LAX, you feel as though there are people that have the ability to, for lack of a better way, describe it, profile. I know it's a dirty word. And pick out, based on looking at body language and other things, cues as to potential threats. And we've talked about this with pilots. We've talked about this with all kinds of people on this show. So it's no secret that I think that's where the real mistake is. And that's just one side of being able to do that. There are other things that we could benefit from if we were able to use certain techniques in trying to knock down terrorism or to actually find the terrorists, which now often is like a needle in the haystack. So we're very thrilled to have with us on this show, especially during this holiday season, Dr. Bob Rail. He's got a book coming out called Surviving the International War Zone. And it's all about lessons that he learned, stories from police and military. And why? Because Dr. Rail is the guy who designed, like I said earlier, the curriculums, the instruction for the police officers from over 56 nations, including Jordan and Iraq and Africa and Bosnia and Kosovo and whatnot. Doctor, thanks so much for coming on to ATN.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
First of all, let's tell everybody what you did. I painted some broad strokes saying that you were instructing police officers, elite police forces, we'll say, from all these different nations. So tell us how you got into this. What was it Because you're an interpersonal communications expert, really, and you're an expert on reading body language. So how did you get down, how did you go down this path?
I've always had the interest in watching people, understanding people. I ended up a retired police officer from a suburb on the west side of Chicago, and I remember many, many times I could spot people before they did things just by how they acted, and I've always been the kind of person who just enjoyed watching people, and it worked out for me tremendous, and I had no idea. I'm not a confident person, so I had no idea what this would lead to in my life.
So it's like I said, I thought if we could do it, if you had more trained detectives, police officers, because that's what you do for a living. You have to, that's what you're trying to do. You're putting together jigsaw puzzles and clues from people. Do you think that would help if we had that kind of security at some of these gates?
Well, the human dimension is the superior dimension. First of all, let's look at it this way. No one on earth knows human behavior better than a grandmother looking at a child. This is a person who's been through it, seen it, done it all. And all I'm doing is tapping into that little bit. A grandmother can look at a child and know what the child needs, when they need it. They know everything. Why? Body language. It's simple.
Yeah, no kidding. So what did you teach body language-wise to, for example, the guys and maybe women that you worked with at the Baghdad Police College? What was that like? What did you teach them to look for?
Well, basically to look for changes in human behavior. If an individual, say, as an example, they have a package, mm-hmm. and they're walking very mechanically with that package, and then they put the package down very carefully, and then as they walk away in a very relaxed manner. This is something we should be aware of, and this is something that most areas are aware of. Unfortunately, here in the United States, I think our protective agencies are more interested in enforcing rules and regulations than they are watching human behavior, and it's the wrong way to go.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I love your example. I agree with that, because if you were just carrying a package, you wouldn't you wouldn't be as meticulous, I guess, or as you say, so mechanical about it, because you would be just carrying it, and if you put it down by accident or you left it, you would just have different mannerisms, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Let me give you a cheeseburger example. This is a little bit funny, but what it amounted to is I many, many years ago, and this was when I was a young rookie officer and thought I knew everything, I arrested a very, very senior old criminal, but I looked at him, and he just seemed to know a lot, and I said, hey, you know what, instead of eating jail food, what if I went out and got you a cheeseburger and a vanilla malt and an order of fries? And he looked right at me, and he goes, chocolate malt, two orders of fries, and I'll talk you right out of your shoes. And I go, you're on. So I did. I went out, and I got all that, and I brought it back to him, and he said, okay, I don't talk about what I got arrested for, but I said, tell me something about behavior. How do you nail people? And he goes, okay, all right, kid, here it goes. You go to a bank. You watch people going in and out of the bank. They're the easiest people in the world to rob. A woman goes in. She's got her purse swinging, and then she walks to the bank. But on the way out of the bank, all of a sudden the purse is tucked up under her arm. She's looking straight ahead. She's serious. She takes a precise number of steps. She's looking through the side of her eye without moving her head. Where's the money?
Where's the money, yeah.
We all know it's in the purse. Is there money in the purse? Yes, there is. Now let's flip it. You see a man walking in, suit and tie. He's relaxed, mm-hmm. almost a little bit of swagger in his step. He just relaxed. He walks across the sidewalk. He hops up a couple of steps, and he's in the bank. But when he comes out of the bank, he walks out of the bank very, very carefully. He takes each step one step at a time. Again, he's looking straight ahead. But now, with his right hand, which tells us he's right-handed,
right.
He takes and he checks his inside suit pocket. He just casually checks it, making sure it's still there, without even knowing he's doing it. By the
right.
time he gets to the sidewalk, his right hand has touched that area two or three times. What does that tell us?
That's where the money is.
That's where the money is. And he's right-handed, and we now know so many things about them. So basing on those premises, I built over years and years and years, both in the United States and out of the United States, I just watched people. And when we had the one bomber on the Christmas flight,
yeah,
there were people who stated that he walked very mechanically.
Mm.
They knew it already. They knew it already. Now with TSA and other agencies and some great people there, and they're really trying hard, but
mm-hmm,
they're really trying to dribble a football, and it's not going to work. What they need to do is, instead of watching all these other things, rules and violations, watch human behavior. Watch the person with a suitcase that puts it down like it's eggs in a carton. Watch,
yeah,
the person who, when they put something down, they straddle with their legs and they stare at people. And when someone comes near it, they hover over it. Watch their behavior with packages. That'll tell you what's in the package.
Yeah. What was the, of all the people, because, I mean, 56 nations, boy, you were a busy guy. Your passport must look like checkers all over the place. Who seemed to embrace that the most of all, you know, Jordan, Asia, Africa? Who embraced your techniques the most, the easiest they got it?
I would say there, believe it or not, there were a couple of the African nations that were incredible because they don't have the technology. So what they do is they make up for their lack of technology by just being extremely thoughtful, extremely visually aware. I would say it was an unbelievable situation with Zimbabwe and Ghana and Senegal. But
mm-hmm,
then you have other places that these people are just ancients of thought, like the Egyptians. They were unbelievable, but you know, paying heed to other people. We had some great people with the different contingents that were assigned to the United Nations International Police Task Force.
Wow.
Doing an impossible job, quite honestly, fighting the bureaucracy and then still doing a great job. But so many great men and women out there
that are trying to do that. Dr. Bob, we're up against a break. Can you hang with us and can we talk a little bit more about this?
Absolutely.
All right, so it's interesting stuff. You know, this is what we've been talking about here on America Tonight for so, so long, about the idea of just watch the human behavior. If you would do exactly what he's saying, if you would watch the way someone walks, I mean, the example about the bank was terrific in watching the way someone comes in and out of a bank. I'm going to try that. I got to go to the bank later this week, and I'm going to try that. I'm going to sit in my car, and I'm going to see how people go in and out, just like Dr. Rail was telling us. All right, more on profiling and anti-terrorism coming up right around the bend here on America Tonight.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for survivalseedbank.com.
Go solar for cheap. Want to use solar power but the price is too high? Now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200 at 123cheapsolar.com. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch the step-by-step videos that even non-handyman types can use. We offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to 123cheapsolar.com or call 800-713-0486. 800-713-0486. Reduce your foreign oil dependency when you go green with 123cheapsolar.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Continuing our conversation here on America Tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney hanging out with you coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. And like I said, speaking of nooks and crannies, I mean, Dr. Rail has been everywhere. I mean, everywhere and all those slices of life in between he's seen. And we're talking about body language and what you can learn from body language if we just observe the human aspects of what's going on. Maybe we'd be able to catch some of these would-be terrorists. And, Doc, you were talking about the, you know, you were talking about the Christmas Day bomber, which would have been a year ago, Abdullah Muttalib, and how people afterwards said that he was walking very mechanically. So he was probably... He was a kid, and he was probably a little bit nervous, and he had a little mission in his mind, obviously, to carry out. And this would be one of the characteristics, even for somebody who's probably experienced, right?
Absolutely. We lie with words, but we don't lie with our body gestures. We learn to the first lie we tell is when we learn to talk. But after that, no, our body gestures give us away in so many ways.
Yeah, what are some of the other body gestures that would give somebody away? Like, just how could I know if someone's lying? What would I see? People always say you can tell in the eyes. People look away. Is that true?
There's a lot to be said by this. If generally, as about a 80 to 90% reliability dependent upon the person, and this goes beyond cultures, which is very advantageous. If you ask a little child, who took the cookies? Who took them off the counter? They'll look at you, and then they'll look straight up in the air, and then with their palms up, they'll go, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to adults. The only difference between adults and children is our toys are much more expensive.
Yeah, there you go. Much more, absolutely. And
yes, go ahead.
So this is some of what you're also, that's all of these gestures, all that stuff is part of your curriculum, all that observation you piled into all of your instruction, and that's why you ended up doing this with these police officers from all these different nations.
One of my responsibilities was to teach interrogation.
Wow.
And that really, really leads us into many different topics, many different areas, but believe me, the way we interrogate here in the United States is the antithesis of what it would be over in a country like Iraq, as an example, under Saddam Hussein, which we very fortunately got that human animal out. And because it was beyond horrors. It was just unbelievable. They'd line people up and just hang them on meat hooks until they had time and opportunity to even talk to them.
Horrible. And so in teaching, and that's a great example, in Iraq and being there, how did you reteach that, though, to the people now who are the elite police there? What did you tell them, forget everything you saw. If you saw any of those atrocities, you don't want to do this. Here's what you need to do. What did you tell them to do in interrogating situations?
I hit them with an American phrase. I hit them with what goes around comes around. And I said, all right. One thing, think about your sister, your daughter, your mother, your father, your brother, a child being treated this way. Not everyone is guilty, but if everyone is treated this way, everyone is going to be hurt. Surely, and I would say it this way, surely Allah has given you a gift to understand more than just this. And I would get through to them that way. It would work that way.
Yeah. Your book is called Surviving the International War Zone, Lessons Learned, Stories from Police and Military. Tell me about the title. So Surviving the International War Zone is exactly that, right?
Simply this. This is not a history book, and it's not filled with dates and places. It contains actual personal stories from the war zones around the world to help us learn from the raw emotions that exist in these places. Have I got time to tell you two brief stories?
Do it. Tell us.
All right. The first story, I'll try and be very brief. It's a story out of the book Surviving the International War Zone. It's called The Death Day Cake. One day I'm in my accommodation, which I rented from a landlord in the area of Sarajevo in Bosnia, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door, and the lady is at the door with her husband, and she's got this little ornate cake, and there's tears in her eyes, and I say, please, come in. And she immediately comes in, and she cuts a little slice of the cake, and she holds it in her hand to me like some type of a very precious gift. I wouldn't have done it except I knew her and her husband. So I took a small bite of the cake, and I said, ah, puna dobra, fala. In other words, very good, thank you. And she cried a little more, and then there was an interpreter that stepped in the room, a 15-year-old girl from a couple of doors down, and she goes, Robert, this is a death day cake. And I go, what do you mean? She goes, this is the day that in the last war here in the Balkans that her brother and her uncle were killed on this day. And since you have taken a taste of the cake, now you will share with us in the vengeance for them forever.
Wow.
And when you've got hate as a matter of tradition, this is so beyond horrible. It's unbelievable.
Kidding.
And the next example out of the book Surviving the International War Zone is called The Scarf. I had a young man, a police officer I was training in Glogovac in Kosovo, and he was with many others, but he's always wearing the scarf around his neck. And I was wondering about the scarf. So one day after I got to know him a little bit better, and we actually had physical contact, which is another body sign when people reach out and touch you on the shoulder instead of staring at you, you're getting through to them. So I took him outside, and I said, please, what is with the scarf? And he isolated us. He walked us over where it was just he and I and another one who could speak better English. And he said, many years ago when I was a young boy, I was throwing rocks at invaders in my village as they drove through. And one of the people from the other side, and I don't like to mention sides because No group of people is all good or all bad, and mm-hmm. we're all capable of the same thing. So that's my plug there. But it reached down, grabbed the boy by the hair, pulled out a bayonet, and sliced his throat open.
Oh.
And at that time, then, he cast this little boy into a ditch, and all the local women ran into the ditch, and they took out sewing needles. And they literally sewed his neck shut. And then with a mixture of mud and local whiskey or moonshine, they packed his neck, and they spent the next couple weeks feeding him different types of broths, which they all took credit for. They were all proud grandmothers. And they nursed him back to health, and he survived the infection, and he didn't bleed to death. And at that time, he took the scarf off of his neck. And I'm experienced, but it even caught me off guard. I mean, I think I moved back a couple of feet. I was so caught off guard. It was the most horrendous slash in his neck that you could imagine, with these very crude stitching marks that held the flesh together.
Wow.
And I put my hand out on his shoulder, and I go, you know, my friend, you know, and he goes, no, this is very good, Robert, because every morning when I get up, I look at the scar on my neck, and I realize the hate and the anger and everything that caused this wound in my neck. And I know, as a police officer, this scar will remind me to be fair to all people, no matter who they are.
Wow, that's a good switch in that venom and that hate and that need for vengeance, like you were talking about with the Death Day cake. That's amazing that he could have that happen to him, and he could say that reminds him to treat people differently, let's say,
yes.
Because he wants to be fair.
He was 21 years old.
Wow.
I was just amazed by what he said.
Wow. Incredible. And I'm sure you've got a ton of other stories in there, too, as well. What's the one thing that you hope of all the people that you encountered, like those two stories you just mentioned and all the nations where you were, what's the one thing you hope that the people who learned some of what you were telling them to do as, you know, police officers will say in this international task force, what do you hope they took away from this?
I would hope that they just don't bring their job home to their families, which is one of the toughest things for the men and women here in the United States. We've got some police here in the States that we're so lucky to have them. We hear only the bad stories. We don't hear about the men and women on the street we've got making their day-to-day, everyday sacrifices. We don't hear about them risking their lives and just going through some hellacious situations. We don't hear about our soldiers coming home. We're losing more of our men and women in the armed forces to suicide than we are to bombs overseas. And that's why Wounded Warrior is so important and other programs. But if we could just take the time to listen to police and military from around the world that have been in these war zones, not talk to them, just listen to them and let them talk to us. It would be a wonderful thing for them, and they really need it, and they deserve that respect.
Yeah, what a way to end this interview. It was great talking to you, Dr. Rail, and surviving the international war zone, lessons learned, stories from police and military. People can pick that up, I'm sure, at Amazon and other bookstores, correct?
I'm fortunate to have a great publisher, and it's everywhere.
Excellent. Doc, we'll have you on again. We really appreciate your time.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, how about that? Boy, as I said, a good note to end on, but pay attention to what he was saying as far as body language and what a difference that makes. And it's what we have said. We've talked to other police. We've talked to other pilots. We've talked to other people. In the military, in the CIA, and the FBI, here on America Tonight for the past couple of years, and it's exactly the same thing they're saying. They're echoing what Dr. Rail is saying. See, that's what it's going to take, folks. That is what it's going to take. All right, coming up, we're going to check the mail. Don't go away.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Men, take control of your prostate health without the risk of nasty side effects with Prostate Secure. Early detection, regular prostate exams, and PSA tests are a must for men over 40. Listen, if you have symptoms of an enlarged prostate but don't want to take a drug with possible nasty side effects, or if you're over 40, then use Prostate Secure, a natural dietary supplement for men. Prostate Secure is a scientifically formulated blend of clinically significant amounts of natural ingredients. It brings together the most powerful plant sterols like beta-sitosterol and saw palmetto, along with antioxidants such as vitamin D3, resveratrol, and lycopene to support good prostate health, proper urinary flow, function, and more. Check out ProstateSecure.com. Order online and save 10% with promo code SAVE10. Or call 1-800-239-9432. That's 800-239-9432. Or visit ProstateSecure.com. Take control of your prostate health naturally with Prostate Secure.
Alright, so were you snowed in? The blizzard paralyzing New York City, Boston, Philly, up and down the East Coast, travel just at a standstill virtually. They were talking about the fact that at LaGuardia, the runways were just terrible. They could only reopen one runway. And Newark and JFK, it was later in the day when they were able to get to that, and at least 4,200 flights were canceled, give or take. A lot of people stranded. You got 24 inches here, 24 there, 31 in Boston. I mean, all over New York, all over New Jersey. And you could see it was kind of like matchbox cars when people decided to try to take to the roadways, some of the roadways that, of course, hadn't been plowed. And then various states were in the state of emergency, you know, immediately state of emergency, because they know that people are going to go out, the crazies are going to go out and try to rip it up in the snow and the ice. But 32 inches of snow in some areas, that's crazy. And the wind gust was the thing that really iced the whole deal, 80 mile an hour winds. So here you come off of a holiday, Christmas on Saturday, boom, Sunday, a lot of times people are flying back to wherever they came from. And they weren't getting out, that's for sure, with that many flights canceled. That has to be one of the most challenging, I think, snowstorms that I can remember in a very long time. I'd venture to say a decade or so that I can certainly remember. I mean, you know, when you have snow drifting, that's where it gets dangerous and tricky, not just on the roads, but also on runways. So, of course, you're not going to have runways open. So you got three major airports that were just at a standstill. They were closed for 24 hours. There were some people that were sleeping in the terminal. Now, somebody who just came back from New York a couple of weeks ago, LaGuardia is not the best place to be stranded. you know, you got a really small area of seats, even at all these individual gates. There's not a lot of comfort there. You know, no offense to LaGuardia, to that airport, but it would be pretty tough to be stranded there. You know, when you have these newer terminals, like in Dallas, they've got a brand new terminal where they've got all kinds of cool seats and places to hang out, massage chairs and whatever, almost even pods where you can take a nap. Same thing in Philadelphia and some of the others where they've got some of the new stuff that an airport offers. Well, they don't have that in LaGuardia. They don't have that in Newark. Newark may be actually the worst of all of them, and JFK is just a giant cavern. It's crazy. And one runway at LaGuardia, almost 6 o'clock at night, and only 10 planes they thought were supposed to land on Monday. Wow. So that's rough. That's just timing, you know. Life is about timing. And, you know, it's like we say, you got to roll with it. So if you're in that situation and you're traveling, you just have to be able to roll with whatever, you know, I guess you encounter. It's easy to say when you're the person that's not in the middle of it. And the trains, for example, we haven't even talked about the trains. It is like that movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Amtrak had to cancel everything Boston to New York. And they had limited service on Monday. And most of those trains were sold out because it affected 10,000 people when the service went down on Sunday. You have to remember, a lot of people would travel between those areas to go and see family, perhaps. So in New York, you had almost 500 people that were trapped overnight, too, because they were on a subway that was stopped because of the weather conditions. Stopped on a subway. I mean, it sounds like a movie, but it's the truth. That's what happened to some of these people. So you're underground between 1 in the morning and 8. 1 and 8. Yeah. What's the first thing you do? Imagine you're on the subway car. You are stranded with who knows who is on that train. And then, finally, they open the doors at 8 in the morning. What do you think? What's the first thing you're doing? Well, of course, you're also in trouble because once you finally get out, then you've got to encounter all the elements again anyway for wherever you were headed. And the cabs were terrible, and a lot of it had to do with the drifts, with the wind gusts. It wasn't just purely the fact that you had snow that fell at incredible amounts all over the Northeast. All right, so a lot of you sent me emails on that, so without further ado, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thank you very much. So we check our first email, and it's from Little Joe listening to us outside of Philly. Hey, Kate, I think you're a Philly girl. I've heard you talk about the Eagles before. What did you think of Rendell's comments about the Northeast and about Philadelphia? I think he was wrong in what he said because, frankly, you couldn't get anywhere. What is he, nuts? All right, so here's the deal. What Ed Rendell said is there was supposed to be a football game on Sunday between Philadelphia and the lowly Vikings. Sorry, Matt. And so for the first time in I don't know how many years, forever, they have this Tuesday night game now. Well, who cares about that? The deal is that the governor, Ed Rendell, was furious that the game was moved. He's like, what are you kidding me? We're moving it from Sunday night to Tuesday night? Well, the reason is because the city was virtually at a standstill. The mayor had called for an emergency, had shut everything down. Michael Nutter, his name is. It was a state of emergency in the city for 6 hours before the start of the original kickoff. So you think the league is going to have a game then with nobody? Of course not. Of course they're not going to do it. The roads were so bad, even for what you usually would encounter in the East Coast. Because it's not like they don't know what to do with snow. It's not like there's not salt trucks and plows and all that stuff. But it was that bad. And like I said, the drifts were the thing. But here's what Rendell said. He didn't mention the whole thing in his email. And he just said, what did you think of what he said? This is what he said. He said, my biggest beef, this is a quote. He says, my biggest beef is that this is part of what's happened in this country. I think we've become wussies. We've become a nation of wusses. The Chinese are kicking our butt in everything. If this was China, do you think the Chinese would have called off the game? Well, the Chinese couldn't have played the game. That's the first thing, Rendell. Then he says people would have been marching down to the stadium. They would have walked and they would have been doing calculus on the way down. So that's the scoop. That's what he's referring to. Now, I'm going to turn to Matt, since he is one of the hardy Midwesterners, and say, you're agreeing because you even sent me a text about that, like you thought Philly was a tough guy city.
Exactly. I think they're a bunch of whiners. For
what happened in Minnesota with your little crappy stadium that fell apart?
That's not having anything to do with the weather not being able to have the game. It's the stadium lacking function. That's a product of having a faulty venue. That's not, if the roof was non-existent, if we were playing outdoors somewhere, that game would have gone on. I guarantee you.
And you saw the kind of snow that was there, right?
I mean,
we're not talking about just a bad snowstorm.
Snow?
We're talking about 80-mile-an-hour winds. Do you think that your crappy quarterback could have even made a forward pass in those winds?
Well, we would have lost the game anyways, but that's not the point.
Anyway.
The point is we would have had the game. We had the game at TCF Bank Stadium when they had to delay it, and they moved it outdoors. We got snow that day, too. We got, I think, like 6 or 8 inches that night. We still had the game. They don't shut down the city, pretty much, unless it's absolutely ridiculous. And what I saw in Philadelphia, I've seen pictures, it didn't look as bad as... I know other places on the East Coast it was bad, but not in Philadelphia. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, please. Whiners, wimps, winners. Philly is a city of winners. What are you talking about? If anyone wants to dispute that... send me a note, AmericansNight.net.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.
But it's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard. Is this a business decision or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.